Welcome into the Inside the Cliff podcast here on the Chargers Sports Network at bcuchargers.com. I'm Justin Barker, voice of the Chargers, joined for our Friday chat with Coach Shane Ladeghi as the Chargers get ready for the battle for the saddle tomorrow against Morningside over at Elwood Olsen Stadium. 1 o'clock with a kickoff, and if you're like me and a big baseball fan, give a little shout out to Coach Corby. The games 4 and 5 of the Blue-Gold World Series are tomorrow morning at 9 and 11, so you can watch baseball and then head across town and watch football. That is like my day. It doesn't get any better.
Yeah, that's a good day for you, man.
I'm going to do some PA stuff for baseball tomorrow because Coach Corby asked. I said, oh, so you want me to come watch baseball for a couple of hours and then watch football all day?
Well, you know,
where do I lose?
I mean, good for you. With baseball, Briarcliff wins regardless.
Right.
Right? Then hopefully we can end it right for you, too.
No, exactly. I want to go back to last week, and it might not follow the same rhythm of the conversations we've had leading up to games. We will talk about Morningside, obviously, but I said it on the broadcast 100 times. I felt it all week. The next man in. The heart, the effort that was shown on Saturday was awesome.
Yeah, you know, it was not how I've continued to envision starting games, right? You know, you look up, there's a minute and a half off the clock, and you're going, oh, man, it's 14-0 already. All right, here we go, you know. And very easily, you know, our team could have just said, here we go again, right? Because every year we've played Midland, they've been, you know, we've kind of got the break speed off of us, especially last year. And so you kind of worried about the psyche of a team. But, you know, to be able to go down and make a big play on the next third down in the next series on offense to Kamani and score and kind of find some rhythm. And then it kind of back and forth. And then we start off the third quarter not well, you know. And you're going, how's our team looking? You know, you're trying to bring the energy and keep you guys confident. And next thing you know, it's 31-24,
right.
You know, after it was 31-10.
Yeah.
You're like, man, well, I think we're going to win this game, right? You know, you just kind of felt – it felt right. You know, we create a turnover. Kyler forces a fumble, and they try to reverse. And we kind of marched down, and then we kind of died off, and we couldn't – as well as Kamani play, you know, he drops a play on a slant on a first down that he just never does, right? As good as that kid's been all year, and it just kind of been – the story of our season right now for a little bit, you know, just the one play you need. We just haven't found our way to make it, but overall outstanding effort, outstanding belief. Like you said, next man up mentality. I mean, we got down to like, I think we had six starters on defense out.
Well, I was going to say, you look down and you see Tinker and Tulsa mm-hmm. by themselves in street clothes and you go, oh boy.
Yeah. You got those
and
two out.
It kept going.
Yeah. And then, you know, you got Jason Freeman out, Tim McCarthy out, you know, and so we were, you know, musical chairs on the back end all day, and Chase Brown hasn't played in a while on the D-line, and just, you know, so on and so forth, right? And then Corey gets banged up on offense, you know, and he couldn't really finish the game the way he wanted to. You know, we've been a little banged up front on the line and kind of getting guys back, but it just hasn't. You know, there's a lot of reasons for our kids to quit and say, well, it's just not going to happen today. And
they didn't.
You know, and even late, you know, to go down and score late, to be honest, they kind of pissed me off. And they kicked an onside kick late, and that really ticked me off.
Right.
My wife wasn't real thrilled with what I was saying after that, but that's okay, beside the point. But, you know, I was – it was on. We were going to go down and score, and we did. And Kamani made a heck of a play there, and we were going to kick the onside back. And, you know, we weren't gonna quit to the end. And one of their coaches asked me, like, why are you throwing at the end? Why are you kicking onside? Why are you? You know, my kids aren't quitting. You know, we're going to – that mentality, I don't care. We're down by 100, down by 7. We're going to go to the final whistle regardless. We're up by 50. I don't care. We're going to finish, right? And that's life, and we got to get better at that. And we're teaching skills that are going to last them forever, you know. And so I probably shouldn't be mad that they did the same thing to us. But I just didn't think with under 2 minutes to go, you're up 3 scores – not the time for it. And so we were going to respond how we were going to respond. And I was happy how we did. So,
yeah. And just to talk about some of the guys or the group of guys defensively mm-hmm. that went out there, Dayton Harrell gets to see his first real amount of snaps outside of special teams. I thought he played really well for his here you go, buddy.
Yeah, no, he was awesome. You know, you'll probably see Dayton probably start the rest of the year. I mean, he's played really well, and he's played really well in practice, and he's excited. And, you know, he played his two games. You know, we're in a decision now, like, we redshirt him or we play him. And
right.
We had some long talks about it, him and I, and, you know, because he was kind of, to be honest, him and Han a little bit. And, like, dude, you're our best option right now. Like, you're playing. You're starting. This isn't a we got a bunch of guys hurt and you got to play. This was a you got better over the course of the start of the season, and you showed us things on the scout team we need to see. And we went to bye week and you proved you're ready. And now you're the guy. You know, you're going to play a lot. And so he's really excited for that, and I'm excited to see him kind of take off here. You know, and Chase Monte is another kid that went in.
Oh, he played great, didn't he?
And he did some really good things. You know, they took the top off on him a couple times and tried to stretch the field, but he did a good job, and he made a couple plays and, you know, performed really well. And, you know, and that one meant something to him. He went to Midland out of high school. And
right.
So, and they were saying some things to him before the game on the sideline that kind of ticked me off and I think got him fired up. So I was excited to see how he played. And it was fun to watch guys like him go out and just really compete at a high level.
Well, and on a personal level, it's neat to see – the kids that you've brought in from this community play at such a high level and play so well. And I know that means something to a lot of the fans too, in that got to watch them in high school, get to watch them excel at the college level. And those guys played their tail off. Chase had a huge pass breakup and almost had an interception. Yep. It's like, he was flying all over the field. That part's just really neat to see.
Yeah, it is. And it's good for our community, right? Like you said, to go out and see those kids. And it's good to see those guys that have kind of battled their way through and worked their way up the depth chart and taking advantage of opportunities, right? Whether it's because they've played well, whether it's because of injuries, whatever it is, you know, to see those guys step up when their number's called and take advantage of it. I mean, that's good for us. That's going to continue to make our program better.
And offensively, when you look at – I thought the offensive line with a couple of different guys in there over the last couple of weeks has – played pretty well.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to see us protect a little bit better. You know, four sacks isn't where we want to be. I mean, not all of those are necessarily always on them, but we still got to find a way to run the ball better. But we've just, quite frankly, we've been pretty good chucking it around right now, you know, and so finding continuous ways to get all those skill guys we have the ball in space and getting our backs involved in that realm too, just to get them touches has really kind of been who we are right now. And so, you know, I looked at Matt Mason when we went down one. I'm like, all right, okay, we're gonna try to establish some run game here. And he just looked at me dead in the eye. He's like, why? Keep chucking it. You know, like, and so I love that mentality of like, you don't gotta worry about me, coach. Let's go win this game. Just, you know, let's do what's working. And so I appreciate our guys of understanding, you know, it's not about me, it's about us. And especially that older group, that veteran group of guys really having that mentality, I think kind of rubs off on the young guys.
Well, Brock has turned into quite the gunslinger lately. And what have you seen from him in practice or in preparation? Or has there been any difference in what he's done? It just seems like the confidence level for him has went through the roof lately.
Yeah, he's a gamer. You know, like sometimes it doesn't always look super pretty at practice. And he'll be the first one to tell you that, you know, and probably, quite frankly, why we didn't play him early last year, because it just doesn't always look pretty at practice. But then you get him between the white lines on Saturdays, and all of a sudden it looks pretty dang good. So, but he's gotten better. You know, he's continuing to get better at making checks, and whether it's flipping pros or getting us to new plays, that's where he's got to really take his next step. But that maturation process is happening. But he just does such a good job at extending plays and keeping his eyes down the field, and whether it's using his legs and running and getting yardage or pushing the ball down the field. You know, the first touchdown to Kamani, that's a scramble, move through the pocket, get outside the pocket. All of a sudden, Kamani's just wide open down the sideline, and his eyes stay downfield. He's not looking at defenders, and, you know, he's just does a really good job of that, better than anybody I've probably been around up to this point in my career, just being able to extend plays like that. You know, and we ran a little RPO, and their backer buzzes out late on it, and he tucks it, finds his way through, slides, gets absolutely demolished. I feel like once a game he just gets obliterated on a slide. And, you know, we got the 15 yards on that. So he's just continued to find ways to move the chains in different ways, and it's given us an opportunity to win.
Yeah, I think the biggest change is that might just be two or three times a game, but him taking off has opened up so many things, and it's really opened up. Whiting has been open a lot lately, and I know he runs good routes and he does things the right way, but the receivers have the ability to run past people. Whiting, it seems like, has the ability to just get open.
Yeah, that's fair. I think really a lot of those guys really have the ability to do that. You know, you look at Kamani, and that kid is as good as a route runner as I've been around in a while, you know, and Corey falls a little bit in that. Corey's more your, you know, make something happen with the ball in his hands. You know, Jaden kind of falls in that category a little bit too, right? And where, yeah, Steve-O's just a matchup problem.
Yeah, he is.
Who do you cover him with? You put a corner on him, well, he's going to be bigger, you know. You put a safety or a backer, and he's going to be faster. And just his catch radius, you know. Like yesterday at practice, we did a little situation. Hey, I just blew the whistle in the middle of practice, spotted the ball on the five-yard line, said, hey, 1 second on the clock, offense is down by four. Have to score. Right, and everybody's all excited. Ones versus ones, and you know we just ran a little motion. Just, I mean, literally spitball to play out there. And I think everybody knows when you put Steven out there, it's nobody's still stopping it. But you know, we put him on a little fade ball, and he's, you know, back corner of the end zone, falling back one handed, snags it, and you're just like, then you just got to get the ball to your guys sometime. But you know, he's a matchup nightmare for anybody. If you're going to take him away, you got to put two over there. You know, in the red zone especially, and that's hard to do because then you're leaving Kamani and Corey and Jaden and Kyle and,
yeah,
you know, everybody else open.
The little underneath stuff to Kyle and then letting him use his speed after the catch, that's so fun to watch.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he seems to, every couple weeks he makes an incredible catch, right, sliding down or diving. Like, that's just, you know, we missed him on one on Saturday, and it's like, that ball's 2 inches higher in the air. Kyle finds a way to come down with it. He's just that type of kid for you. And I saw that in high school in 2017, 2018 at Minot State Prospect Camp in the summer. You know, kid breaks his ankle at camp and finishes camp. He's just routing everybody up and making plays. I'm like, this kid's tough as nails. It's just the type of kid you want. And
yeah.
He shows us that on a daily basis.
So how is the health of the team going into this week? Anybody back, or are some of those a little more lingering injuries? Or
yeah, a little bit of a mixed bag. You know, we'll see on Tim tomorrow, McCarthy, how he's feeling. You know, Tulsa will likely be back, which will be big for us. Eli's back. You know, we're going to stick with the O-line we have right now, but he'll be ready. Yeah, and he's been really good with that. You know, that's tough as a kid when, you know, somebody comes in and you get hurt and plays really well, you know, but he's been really good to just use me where you need me. So we've shuffled him around a little bit just so something does happen. He can play multiple roles and feel confident in that. So that's been good. You know, Corey got banged up a little bit late in the game. He should be fine. You know, maybe we got to limit him a little bit. We've limited him a bunch this week, but he's not a – he doesn't need reps. He just needs to feel good. You know, he's done this long enough. So, you know, on the D-line, just little nicks and dings. I don't think anything, you know, super serious. Tink's back. So
good.
That's good. Yeah, he got hurt on Friday practice at the very end. Just kind of a freak deal and ended up not being as bad as we anticipated. So, yeah, he's feeling really good. He's moving around really well. You know, Braden is Braden. He's beat up like every other backer that plays like he does. That kid's not going to sit out. So he's, no. You know, he had to come out for a little bit in the game on Saturday. But, I mean, he will bandage up and put whatever protection he needs on to get out there and play on Saturday.
So you might have to lock his helmet in your truck.
100%.
And then find everybody with the same size head as him and require they don't give him a helmet.
And then fight him because he will fight me if I didn't let him play, right? That's just the type of kid he is, and I love it about him. You know, he'd throw hands with me if he had to play. So that's
Coach,
what you love about him.
In.
Yeah, and it's almost like I'm saying, yes, sir. You know,
yeah.
He's just that type of kid, and you love his mentality.
You know, another kid that I love watching, and I don't know what stood out about it this week, but the pulling ability of Big Max from that center position, I don't know if you went back and watched on tape the people that he road graded by on the way on a couple of plays, but he seemed to have an extra gear Saturday coming out of his stance.
Yeah, I think he's, quite honestly, I just think he's practiced better, you know, and, you know, we do these weekly captain meetings with Joe Melton, and that's something that Max has really talked about the last few weeks of having better intent in how he practices.
He was mean Saturday. He had
some
intent.
Yeah, I just think he's practiced that way, right? It just hasn't been kind of it's hard at O-line. It's really hard to go that hard every day. That's a challenging thing to do, and it takes a special person, and that doesn't mean you don't do it, right? And I think that group has started to figure that out a little bit better, and not that they've ever been bad, but I just think Max has probably gotten himself in better shape, and he's taking care of himself a little bit better, and he's practicing a little bit harder. And maybe not harder is the right word, but I just think with better fundamentals and techniques, and those things are starting to show up a little bit more on Saturday.
It sure did. It was fun. I love watching a big pulling lineman hit somebody.
I hear you.
It's you as a tight end and line guy in the blocking world. I know you appreciate it, but
for sure.
You get a full head of 6 foot and 315 pounds coming downhill with the mullet coming out the back and the lettuce in the breeze. That's a good thing. I like it.
For sure.
So, looking ahead to tomorrow, obviously, the Mustangs are going to create a lot of challenges, both offensively and defensively, because they have forever. That's how they play the game. They're another very good team and a very good passing team. So, the backs and the secondary are going to have to be at their best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very talented at skill positions, like always. You know, they're down a couple guys. They're banged up, too. I know Norton's out at receiver, and that's a good thing for us. But they got they're a loaded gun back there at receiver. You know, they got a deep pockets there. But Norton's definitely a stretch-the-field guy that's done a lot of good for them for a long time. So I will not miss him on Saturday, and I'll make sure he knows that. I'll shake his hand and make sure he's doing all right. But I'll tell him, like, thanks for not being out there. But selling number two, their kid that's a sophomore, I mean, he's a stud. I think he's leading the country in receiving right now. Like, he's a problem. He's big. He's fast. Runs great routes. He's got incredible ball skills. I mean, he's a matchup nightmare. They do a really good job moving him around. And I think it's Chevalier. I think I'm saying his name right. Their quarterback has just gotten better as the year's gone on. You know, you see early in the season, you know, we had a lot of crossover tape with them, and you're going, I know Coach Ryan's probably not real happy with that decision there, right? You know, probably thinking the same thing I'd be thinking of that situation. But it's like every week, those get less and less. And he's continuing. You can see just the confidence he's gotten in their scheme and offense. They don't do a lot. They're just really good at it, right? They don't run a ton of concepts. They don't do a bunch of different things. They RPO the heck out of you. And they take it. What they've always been good at is they've been really good at, with their eyes at quarterback, at taking advantage of where you misfit something or you roll a coverage and, you know, you give them something open. So that's the challenge of us, is how can we be really sound on the back end but then present some challenges to them pre-snap, post-snap, and move around and not just play base. Because if you do those things, you give yourself a shot. You know, and they're down there starting running back too. That doesn't hurt. But they're, again, they got a deep well of backs too that they can go to. So I'll be interested to see, you know, how they try to attack us. But like you said, I mean, they're the number one passing offense in the country. They might even be, regardless of division right now.
I think he's number three in all
levels. Yeah, they're throwing for well over 400 yards a game and just really doing some good stuff. That's who they are. And they haven't changed, you know.
Yeah, right. You know what you're going to get.
That's what's really, quite frankly, impressive about them on both sides of the ball. They haven't changed. They do what they do, and they get the kids in there to do it, and they find a way to highlight those guys and what they do, and it's impressive. And it's, you know, I think what we all strive to a degree. And it's the same thing defensively. You know, they play four down front with one backer in the box and two sit outside, and they play quarters behind it, and they crush everything and try to spill it to their backers, and they've done it since I've been here, and it hasn't changed one bit. And they're really good at it, and they're super talented up front. I think Isaac Pingle at middle backer, you know, he's a kid I recruited at Minot. Or not me personally, but we recruited him at Minot way back when, and with Brady Schlager on the D-line. You know, and I've known Brady since he was 4 years old. I still got a picture of him somewhere. His older brother coached with me at SMSU, and Brady gave me one of his Pee Wee football pictures his first year playing and put it up in my desk, and I still have that somewhere. So, you know, those two we recruited at Minot when I worked with his brother there. So I've known those kids forever, and they're super talented. They're both captains, and they're physical. They're fast. What you have to do against these guys is you got to manage the run game and chunk them away as best you can and stay positive. And they do what they do on the back end, and you got to win. That's just the nature of it.
Yeah, they're a very unforgiving team, aren't they?
Yeah, you have to take advantage of every opportunity you get, and you got to win on them. And it's a lot of one-on-one matchups. What I feel good about is we're pretty talented on the perimeter. So we got some guys that can win those matchups. So it's going to be a four-quarter ball game. I think it's going to be a nail-biter down to the end. To be honest, I told our team this. I think some teams just lay down to them. I watched the tape on some of these teams. I'm going, did you even remotely think you had a chance? They run like the same plays over and over again. It's just like, let's get out of Dodge and get out of here. We don't stand a chance. And I just like, why compete? I just, you know, I don't care how good they are. They're really good. They've been that good forever. Steve's a great coach. They got a great staff. They got good players. We got good coaches. We got good players too. Like, you go compete. You came here to play this level of competition. So why lay down?
Absolutely.
You know, I just watched Vandy a couple weeks ago, you know, get after Alabama. Right? You saw Tennessee lose. Like, you play these games for a reason. The SEC is like the GPAC of our level. It's the best league in the country. Everybody can beat everybody, and you got to just relish your opportunities. And so, you know, that's been our message, is you have to practice with that intent. And, you know, there's no forgiving, right? Like, you make one mistake. Yep. That's been the story of our last 2 years against these guys. Like, as soon as you make a mistake, they're tough to come back from against a team like that. It's just, they're built that way. They have tradition and an expectation that's been there a long time, that if you give us an opportunity, we'll step on your throat and it's going to be tough to come back. And so, you know, we've found ourselves, 2 years ago, we were up 14-3. And they kind of battled back, and we had a back and forth going to halftime. We come out of halftime, we throw two pick sixes and three plays, and that was it. You know, last year, I think we're down 10-0 or 14-0. We march right down the field. We drop a touchdown pass, and then battle our way, keep it a ball game, and then we throw a pick. And just, you know, those little mistakes you just can't make against these guys. And if you don't make them and you got yourself a chance to be in this ball game, you're a scary opponent now. Because I know inside our locker room, we believe what can happen tomorrow. Nobody else does. I'm well aware of that. You know, I mean, it's somebody here on campus that works here, like, good luck on Saturday. It's, you know, business as usual against these guys. And I had to bite my tongue. It's like, no, that's not the mentality around here, right? But it takes us to change it.
Right.
That's a message to our team. Like, if you want people to stop talking like that, then you got to go change it, right? And so, can't tell. I'm kind of fired up for this one. I'm excited.
It's great. And what I love about it is not only a lot of the coaches in the conference – recruit the same kids. Mm-hmm. You all know each other very well. You're all friendly, it seems like, off the field.
Yep.
And then it's go time. And I just think that ups the ante with everything, in that you want to beat the guy across the desk. He wants to beat you, yep, across the desk. And it makes for great football on an every Saturday occasion. So
Yeah, and these games are just so important in our program if we're going to continue to take the next steps.
Yeah.
You know, at some point you gotta take that next step. You know, why not now? And so, they present a huge challenge. This is no easy task. But last time I checked, last week wasn't an easy task. And the week before that and the week before that weren't either. You know, that's just the nature of the world we live in the GPAC.
Yeah,
you know, and what I tell our team, we're no easy task either.
Right.
You know, don't forget that.
Yeah.
You know, they got to prepare and they got to have a good week of practice. And they got to show up and play well on Saturday to beat you. You know, it's not just we better play our best to have a shot. No, they got to play their best too. And so I think that's what makes it fun. And sometimes that's the reminder our guys need to hear is, you know, teams are scared of you too.
Absolutely. So we got an opportunity tomorrow as the Chargers have their shortest road trip of the season.
Yeah.
Across town to Morningside, 1 o'clock kickoff. And Coach, we wish you the best of luck. Can't wait to go root you on. And
appreciate it.
We'll see what happens.
Yep, yep.
It's why they play the game.
Amen.
Little coach's cliche,
yep,
right?
Yep.
It's the Inside the Cliff podcast with Coach Shane Ladeghi here on the Charger Sports Network. We will talk to you Monday afternoon right here on the Charger Sports Network and on the GPAC Network app. Media day for the men's and women's basketball teams. So Nelson Wilson and I will join you live about 3 o'clock Monday afternoon, and we'll talk hoops, and then we'll get you ready for next Saturday with whatever game, who's ever on the schedule. We'll talk about that later. It's Morningside and Briarcliff tomorrow. Good luck to the Chargers.